Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's runner is, well, me. A few weeks ago, I had Sam from the Super Awesome You podcast on my show, and also had the opportunity to go on his show and tell my story. This week, I'll be featuring my interview with Sam so that if you're not familiar with my story, you'll get a little insight there. Thanks again, Sam, for having me on, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Super Awesome Runner. My name is Sam. I'm the host of the show on the Super Awesome Mix podcast network. You can find more of the show's content at Super Awesome Mix on Threads and on Instagram, as well as Super Awesome Runner, where I'm most active on Threads because it's just a lot of fun there. With that, I'm going to get into this week's episode. I am very excited to actually be hosting my first ever interview on the Super Awesome Runner show. I have with me Taylor, and she is the host of the My First Marathon podcast, which I had the pleasure of being on a few weeks ago. The show, her show has grown a lot since its launch and is actually celebrating 1 year and the launch of a brand new website where you can find, and I'll have this in the show notes, you can find it at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com, including a way to support her and her show. Taylor has run all the distances from a 5K up to a full marathon, that is 26.2 miles, and I believe is currently training for both a half and a full coming up. Taylor, I'm very excited to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be your first guest. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Hopefully I do you justice. I know you've been interviewing a lot of people on your show for a while, and so if I'm a little rusty, I apologize.
No, all good.
So tell me a little bit more about your running podcast and your new website and everything. How's that going?
Yeah, going good. Like you said, coming up on a year of the show, which is just absolutely crazy. It kind of, I think like anything, it started as a passion project and it's just kind of grown from there. So it's been really cool to just connect with new communities. I love talking to runners about running. So an interview-based show is like great for me. And the website has been a cool learning curve for me too. It's like the first businessy thing that I've really done for the show, where I'm introducing like free content and paywall stuff and things like that. So it's been just a cool learning experience, and hopefully people are enjoying it. It's been out for only a week so far.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I will, as I mentioned, I'll be sure to link out to the show notes. So please, listeners, check it out. And if you haven't listened to at least my episode on that show, definitely listen to that, but certainly listen to more because the stories are great on Taylor's show. So I had a lot of fun being on there, and I just think it's a really unique and fun idea of getting runners, because every runner wants to share their first marathon story.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how the show started too, is I, was seeing a lot of posts on Instagram. You see the, after a big marathon or just a marathon in general, you see everybody post their race recap. And I was kind of like, well, what if we compiled those and told stories about it? So definitely stemmed from the running community for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's countless memes of like, how do you know someone's a runner? Like, don't worry, they'll tell you. So
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. Well, the crux of this show has always kind of centered around motivation and just kind of drive and why do we do hard things? And I think running is like a really good example of us signing ourselves up for doing hard things. And so hopefully through this interview, I will, try to understand your motivation and all of that good stuff. But before we get into that, why don't we just start with like, how did you get into running?
Yeah. So going way back, my kind of relationship with movement, so to speak, for most of my life was softball. I played as a 10-year-old, played all the way up until my freshman year of college. So a lot of kind of relationship building around a team sport. But I decided to step down from playing in college, just was kind of a lot to take on with school and everything. So took a step down in college and then was left with like, well, what do I do with all my free time now? Because this has taken up my whole life for a really long time. So during that time, I kind of really struggled with like, you get told to work out, you get told what workouts to do, how to train your body for so long, and then all of a sudden fitness is left to you. And I was really lost in that all the way through college, really, where I was just like, I don't know how to move my body without being told what to do, really.
Yeah.
So then when I moved out after I graduated college, at a couple of years later of having just random jobs, kind of still having that weird relationship with movement, moved across the country. That's when I was like, I got to figure out this relationship with this stuff. Started getting into rock climbing actually at first. That was just where I got introduced to like a community of people who liked to do things. That's also, I think, very similar to running. If you've rock climbed before, it's very much a cult community like running is.
Sure. Yeah.
So met a lot of people there. Those people also happened to be, half marathon runners, a couple marathon runners. So got introduced to like some run clubs and friends like that. and then really just started slow from there. Just started putting on shoes, and I think my first run was like a 14-minute, like 1 mile run or something like that. And we've just kind of progressed from there.
That's really cool. Yeah. What was it that, so, you know, you were doing rock climbing. Did they like kind of convince you to get into running, or were you just like, oh, that sounds fun, let me also try that?
Yeah, I think the community aspect was just really driving me in different areas and kind of pushing me out of my comfort zone. So it started with just, oh, let's all go after we you know, rock climb, let's all go out and get something to drink or something like that. And then it turned into, oh, we're all going to this run club, you know, in a couple of weeks. And I just happened to join, was severely humbled in that run club for the first time that I went. But I remember just thinking like, wow, what a cool group of people. Like I moved across the country. I didn't know anybody out here when I moved out here. So I was just like, this seems like a great way to make friends. And it seems like I could wrap my head around doing something with a group of people versus me just having to kind of intrinsically like motivate myself. So it was a lot of those things.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. The, as you said, yeah, finding like a good fitness community can make a world of a difference to get you out the door to start. I do really appreciate people that just sign themselves up for something and then go out and do it themselves, because I think that takes a special kind of motivation that I might not have.
Totally. I agree.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. Did like rock climbing help in any way whenever you were running? Like, how far did you get into rock climbing before you switched over to running, I guess?
I probably did it for about a year, and there was some running and rock climbing overlap there for sure. I think it helped the most with like core stuff. I realized this much later in my running journey. I didn't realize it like right away, but how important a strong core is to running. And I remember having some lower back pain pretty early on, and rock climbing was really helping with that. And I don't know if this is every rock climbing gym. I've only been to the ones here in the Triangle, but it was not just rock climbing. These group of people would also go to the yoga classes that were at the rock climbing gym, and I would take like a lifting class, and a lot of that all was helping with running, whether I knew it or not.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So you were basically, as you said, just kind of like diving back into the fitness world and the movement world and like exploring all of that for yourself this time, rather than in like the context of like a team sport.
Totally. Yeah.
That's really cool. So then as you were kind of like diving into running, at what point did you start to like identify as a runner? You know, because I feel like that's something that I see a lot online. I'm sure you see it too. It's like that tipping point where you go from like, oh, I run to work out to, oh, I am a runner. Is like an interesting moment.
Yeah. And I think most people can say too, like, for me as well, it takes a minute. You run for a long, like much longer than you think before you start to kind of identify with the sport. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think I really identified as a runner until after I ran my first half marathon. I kind of had just seen it as like, this is still like the rock climbing. Like, this is just something I'm doing to meet people, to try to get my relationship back with movement that I've lost over time. Probably when I ran my first half marathon was when I started to really feel like, oh, like this could be my thing, you know, so to speak.
That's really cool. And were you excited to dive into that half, or did you kind of struggle getting yourself up to that distance? How did that go?
Yeah, there was a lot of change in my life at that point when I was training for that half. It was like, I'm the type of person that when I set a goal, I'm going to be all in on achieving it. So I didn't have any doubts that I was not going to be able to run the half, but I definitely had some confidence issues with like my ability to run the half. Like once I got there, it's something, you know, you just don't know the unknown when you're training for the first race in general. So it's like, am I randomly going to slip on something and like injure myself halfway through? I don't know anything about fueling. Am I going to be dehydrated and like pass out halfway through? It was more of that. Where I just, you know, I wasn't super confident in myself as a runner. So I just was like, well, I think I've done the training. Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. But it sounds like you crossed the finish. You got it done, which is great.
Yep.
At that point, did you have the reaction of like, oh, I'm never doing anything like this again? Or were you like, that was really fun, let's do it again, or somewhere in the middle?
I remember thinking, well, I immediately was like, I don't know how anybody would run a marathon. I remember thinking that right away, like, oh, that's insane. So that was definitely not in my mind. I did think I could do a half better than I did. Because I remember like those fears I was talking about. I remember being really nervous to push myself during that race. So I really held back in the beginning. I took to heart what everybody would say about starting too fast. I probably started too slow, if that's even a thing. Because I was like, I just don't want to blow up halfway through this thing. So I was very conservative. So I remember thinking at the end, I feel pretty good. It was definitely a challenge, but I feel generally pretty good. And I feel like I could have gone a little bit faster. So that was like my motivation immediately after, is maybe signing up for another half and seeing if I could do it a little bit better.
That's really cool. So as you were kind of like diving back in then to, you know, to, or challenging yourself now of thinking like, I can do that a little bit faster, a little bit better. What was that like, as you said, was that the primary motivation? Did you find moments in there where you were like, oh, never mind. Like, I actually don't care as much about this. Like, tell me a little bit about that journey of making that, because I find personally making that decision is one thing, but then actually following up on it and executing it is like a whole other story. So how did that go for you?
Totally. And you mean like training leading up to the half marathon?
Yeah. Really? Like, did you ever question what you were doing basically, or were you just like all in and really excited about it?
I think it'll maybe somewhere in the middle. It every week was new, and that's something
right.
that I wish, I mean, hindsight's 2020, but I wish that I was a little bit more present through that, those feelings for training for my first half marathon, because yeah, everything was a challenge, but it was also so new. So I had no expectations really. And I tried mm-hmm. to kind of not have expectations. So I would have a run where, you know, like I remember this 8 mile, the first time I ran 8 miles for the first time felt like a big milestone. And I remember getting to like mile six and being like, I'm not going to finish this. I'm not feeling good. I was training over the summer, so it was hot. Nothing was going my way. Ended up running the 8 miles, but after that, like, huge hit to my confidence where I was like, okay, I'm still going to run this half marathon. Like I said, I'm pretty eye on the prize type of person, but
yeah,
man, I'm feeling like I'm maybe not as athletic as I thought I was, or I'm feeling like maybe I had, I don't know, like I just didn't remember coming out of it and feeling like, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was, like kind of a humbling experience. Of course, you realize the further you run that you're always going to have those runs that take you back. But when you're going through it the first time, you're like, man, what happened? Like, I just felt great last weekend, and this weekend I'm blown up. Like, how could that happen?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Like, that never leaves. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how successful you end up being as a runner. You'll definitely have weeks where you come out of a run, or you come out of a week of runs, and you're just like, what happened? I've definitely had a lot of that recently, dealing with random injuries and illnesses, especially can like just knock your confidence.
Totally.
How do you come back from moments like that? Do you just kind of press on? Do you look for something? Do you talk to other people? Like, what gets you out of those valleys?
For that one, it was just kind of continuing to move forward. I mean, I remember telling myself, like, I'm not the only one that's ever ran a half marathon. You know, I'm not the only one that has been at my physical ability and made it to the half marathon point. So this must be part of it, is kind of how I kept pushing forward. Of course, there's still those fears of like, maybe it's not, maybe it's just me. But I think if you can kind of zoom out and say like, no, a lot of people do this. And the more you're introduced to communities and people that are actually doing it, you can zoom out a little bit and be like, okay, I'm not the only person in the world training for a half marathon. I'm not the only person in the world that failed a 8 mile run. So you can kind of just keep moving forward there.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And something that gets lost a lot is like, other people have done this before. And sometimes even just telling yourself that, it makes a world of a difference. Of like, other people have been here, other people have found a way. I know I spent a lot of time on like subreddits, like running subreddits, and even specific ones to New York City, because obviously the running community is just huge here, is the nature of how big the city is. And it is so comforting sometimes to read someone's experience that very closely mirrors yours, if not is like identical. And you're just like, wow, okay, I am not alone. Like,
totally.
Like,
yeah.
I can definitely find a way. So I agree. I think that can be really kind of just calming and centering and motivating in that regard, to remind yourself that many people have dealt with this before, and you know, you can find a way to do it too, if they could.
Totally. Yeah. And that's not to say, you know, like there's always for your first especially, there's always the other side of it that's a little bit more negative. Like, of course, I have those thoughts, and that's what's keeping me moving forward. But kind of back to like the team sport stuff, I still had that idea of, can I do it, anything like without a coach? Like, I'm doing this on my own. Am I making good decisions? Like, there's always that fear too, I think, when you're training, you've got two sides. You've got, okay, this is what's keeping me moving forward, but here are my fears that are maybe keeping me, you know, not moving forward as quickly as I could.
Yeah, I think, you know, someone has said this before, or at least I've seen this a lot, where running is kind of unique in this regard, that you are both the athlete and the coach simultaneously.
Totally. Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And like, just in your head, right, on these runs, you take on both roles. You know, there's a moment where you're like, oh, I've got this, I'm feeling so good. And moments where you're like, what am I doing? This is awful. Like, I'm awful at this. And you need to like coach yourself back up, hopefully. Yeah. Right. Otherwise, you can really shrink yourself down and make yourself feel small. So it is really interesting, I think, transitioning from that team sport to that solo athlete. When you know, it doesn't have to be for your half marathon, but maybe even when you're training for your first or any other like full marathons, did you like hit a wall in your training block where, you know, and what happened if you did?
Yeah, I think I hit two training for my first marathon. The first one was pretty early on. It was pretty much the week after, maybe 2 weeks after I ran my first half marathon is when I started training for my first full. And I remember that first 14 mile run. I think it was more of a mental thing than a physical thing, but I remember getting to like mile 10 or 11 or something like that and just completely blowing up. Like I was in tears. Like I was upset. My body just felt bad. Everything felt bad. Looking back on the experience, I ate like shit. Sorry if I can't
no,
swear
you're good.
On here, but
I
ate really bad the day before. I did not hydrate well and it was really hot outside and I probably didn't give myself enough time to recover after running a half marathon. Those are the things I could zoom out and see now. But when it was happening to me, I was like, I just ran a half marathon last weekend. Why can't I run 14 miles now? And immediately my mind went from like that all or nothing mindset where I was like, I can only run a half marathon. Clearly I'm not built to run a marathon. That was my distance. I'm just going to work on perfecting that distance because obviously I can't even get over the 14 mile hump. So why would I train for a marathon? Like that's immediately where my mind went. So that was the first wall that I hit. And I didn't try to attempt to get back over the 14 or the half marathon point for probably another month and a half, just because it really freaked me out. I had plenty of time to train. I was when I say I was starting marathon training, it was really more of a base building thing. And my marathon wasn't for a few months, but yeah, that really took a knock to my confidence where I was like, okay, I'm not a marathon runner. I'm just a half marathon runner and I'm going to kind of stick here in my comfort zone.
I totally get that. That actually happened to me years and years ago before I really considered myself a runner. And like, even I had run like one or two halves and, you know, it was like, oh, I guess now I can just go ahead and do a full. And I got to like 14-ish, 14 and a half at most and just completely collapsed. And, you know, and I wasn't fueling, I wasn't drinking water. I wasn't doing any of those things yet. Right. So as you said, like, obviously I was going to collapse because you can't really run out. And I wasn't living in Dallas, so the heat was really strong. You can't run 14 miles without drinking some water.
In
the state
of
Texas.
It's so obvious now, but it's like when it's happening to you, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah. And I left it alone for years. I mean, for me, it was literally years. Like the idea left me. So how did you, you know, you said it was like a month and a half before you kind of restarted. Was there something that got you to restart or was it just like enough time had passed that you were willing to retry?
Yeah, I think probably enough time. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I'm sure that there was a community that I went and spoke to or looked at people on Instagram or something like that, that kind of reassured me that no, like bad runs happen and you should keep going. I also remember I probably told this a million times, but my boyfriend's friend, I remember when I ran that first half marathon, he like made a joke to my boyfriend saying, she's going to run a full within a year. And for some reason that also stuck with me when enough time had passed, I remember thinking like, no, Cody must have said that for a reason. Like if this must be a thing that people do, they get hooked on this half marathon distance and then they run the full. So I remember thinking, I'm going to give it another shot. If I fail another 14 mile run, that'll be my sign that I'm good. I can't get past this distance. And then in true running fashion, the next 14 mile run went perfect. And I was like, okay, we're back. We can keep doing this thing.
I love that. I think it actually speaks a lot to, you know, we just talked about how like you are both the coach and the athlete whenever you're a runner, but I think you bring up a good point. Other people in your life can kind of coach you even inadvertently, you know, like I wonder, like, had you not had that comment in your head, could you have restarted the way that you did? And I do find that like having someone in your life believe in you and believe that you're going to do it sometimes is that push in those moments and those dark moments where you're like, I can't do this. And you're like, no, but you know, my friend believes in me or my spouse believes in me or my family believes in me or a stranger on the internet believes in me. Right. Like I think sometimes even being on, you know, in a Threads running community or a Reddit running community and having someone kind of prop you up there can tip the scale to get you moving again and get you to that finish. So I think that's really powerful. I love that you kind of kept that in your head because it is a reminder that you know, we carry that with us, like these positive affirmations and they kind of seep into our subconscious.
Totally. Yeah. And he still probably doesn't even know that comment made, you know, such an impact on me. But yeah, I never forgot that. It was just like, well, he wouldn't have said that if he didn't think that. So it just stuck with me.
I love that. I it's something that I've talked about with friends before where sometimes people will say something in passing and they will forget it and move on with their lives because it doesn't mean anything to them, but it can have a huge impact on someone's life, you know, and it sadly works in the negative way too. Like someone might disparage you and then you carry that with the rest of your life. And to them, they might've just been having a bad day and they said something offhand and negative. And to you, it like unfortunately shrank you, you know, and made you feel smaller. So I'm always someone who promotes kindness and motivation and pushing people. So, you know, in a positive way. So, cause you just, like I said, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Like your comment on the internet really might make the difference to someone like
totally.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, no, that's really, really interesting. So you had mentioned that there were two times you hit a wall in the training block. So that was the first one. What was the second one?
Yeah. The second one was when I got up a little bit more in mileage. It was my 18 mile run. Those runs like stick out in your head.
Yes.
So the 18 mile run, again, it was one of those milestones that just felt big. I think my peak run that I ran in that training cycle was 20. So I still had the 20 mile run coming up, but I don't think I had a 19 mile run. So it was the 18 miler. And then the next run was going to be my peak mileage. And then I was going to start a taper. So that one felt like a lot of pressure because it was like, this is my last run before I have to do the test run for the race and then the race.
Right.
That one, I definitely hit the wall. I think it was a couple of things. I think it was partially the route that I chose was tough on the mental. It was an out and back, but it was a really long straight stretch for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I had also never ran there before. So pro tip, if you're training, the first time you run a route, don't let it be like the higher pressure runs. Cause I think that also really messed with me. It probably would have been better just to stick to a route that I was comfortable with since everything else was going to feel uncomfortable. So that stressed me out. I also remember underfueling quite a bit that day. That was the last time that I think I got away with underfueling and having to not learn about it. Cause I did hit the wall pretty hard, but I just remember since it was an out and back, I went out 9 miles and I was going to come back 9 miles. And I hit like I had 3 to go. So mile 15. And I realized that I can't get back to my car unless I run these or walk these 3 miles. And that just like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but just the fact that I had no choice was like almost suffocating for me where I had to stop and be like, oh my, like I can't quit. My body feels horrible. I feel horrible. But even if I decide that I have to walk this thing, I still have to walk 3 miles to my car, and that's just going to take longer. So I just remember sitting there like, if this happens in the marathon, it's going to be the same thing. The finish line is not going to move any closer to me. If I fail, I'm going to either have to dip out where I'm at, or I'm going to have to make it back to, you know, the finish line. So I wish I would have taken that moment as more of, no, this is good mental practice for the marathon, but I didn't at the time and just didn't know enough. So I just remember feeling really defeated. Like I've made it through training. I've had some really good runs, but now I had this really bad one. So I must not be, you know, doing something right or training right. Or, you know, those thoughts that go through your head. So I just remember doing that. I walked for a while, kind of had my pity party and then ran the last maybe 2 miles. And then just my confidence again, knocked down. It's like, now I have to go run 20 miles in 2 weeks or something like that. And I did not feel good on that one. So just another knock to the confidence a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally understand. I whenever you're talking about that, I was reminded of an 11 mile run I did at some point for my training that just went wrong in every possible way. I mean, it was awful. And then, I was like, I can't even do 11 right now. You know, like I've run half marathons and I'm like bonking on an 11 mile run. And you just feel, you just feel like so weak and so uncertain and not confident anymore. So how did you pull yourself out of that one? Like, how did you feel going to the 20 or what happened next?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably didn't do a great job pulling myself out of it. Cause I got to the start of the 20. I mean, I adjusted the court, like where I was running. I learned that much where I decided to do loops instead of doing an out and back so that if something did happen that I could pull out. And I think that just, I didn't have plans of pulling out, but I think that just helped with my mental stuff with just like not feeling like, gosh, if everything goes wrong, I'm still going to be stuck walking to my car.
Yeah.
So that I switched up, but in terms of how I approached it, I did a little bit better on fueling. I figured how I was feeling had to do with dehydration in some way. So I think I packed a vest that day instead of just taking handhelds or something like that. And that certainly helped, but I went into it still feeling that lack of confidence. Cause it felt like, again, an all or nothing kind of thing where you either run this 20 mile run and you have complete confidence leading up to race day, or you fail it again, like the 18 mile run, and you go into race day feeling like, well, hope this turns out better than the 20 mile run turns out. So just, again, a lot of pressure But I think switching up the route helped. The loops made me feel a lot better. I set up a little aid station at my car.
Oh, so nice.
I could come around and kind of make sure I was okay. But that one was also just a mental battle. I just tried to really hone into the fact that, like, my why, I had a why at that point. I didn't have that from the half marathons that I was training for, but this one, I really wanted to prove something to myself. So I kept just trying to focus on that for the 20-mile run. And I tried to just visualize as much as I could the finish line. I remember a couple of times getting a little, like, teary-eyed thinking about it, because I was like, in 2 weeks, this is going to be, you know, for real. So take this seriously. Do what you can. Try not to let the outside factors kind of impact you too much. So maybe a little bit more centering of myself for the 20-mile run. Just trying to focus on the end goal.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's really powerful. Yeah. What was your why? Was it just to prove that you could do it to yourself or for yourself?
Yeah, I really, like, this team sport stuff lingered with me for a long time. Moving across the country and not knowing anybody, like, lingered with me for a long time. I had a lot of just sort of internal battles that I was going through at the time. So my why was, like, if I can do something like this, I can get through anything, was what I was hoping to get out of the experience. So I just kept trying to lean into, like, maybe some people think this is being hard on yourself. I think this is more like internal motivation, but I try to tell myself, like, future you that's ran the marathon wouldn't do this, you know.
Yeah.
Future you that you want to be wouldn't, you know, quit right here, or wouldn't not fuel, or wouldn't not take hydration, or things like that. So I just try to really focus on the person that I wanted to be through the whole experience.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's so powerful. I really love that, and I appreciate you sharing that. I talk a lot about that on my show. I've mentioned, like, identity is kind of a way to get ourselves to change and change totally. Our lifestyle and our habits, and, like, assuming the identity of who you want to be in present day can definitely help you make those decisions. It acts like a shortcut, basically, to doing that. So I love to hear you say that, because I think that is really powerful and certainly can help a lot whenever you have those moments of, like, oh, I feel like a quitter, but the version of me that's not a quitter wouldn't quit now, right? Like, they would keep going. And it sounds really silly and kind of like, how does that work? But it really does work, I find.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting. So would you, like, what is kind of your proudest accomplishment looking back and everything? Do you have a moment? Was it that first full marathon? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
I would say probably that proudest accomplishment was after that 14-mile run, not giving up, because I really wanted to. I really wanted to go back to just running the half marathon distance and just really never doing the marathon thing. And we see, like, how much this has impacted my life now. I'm so glad that I didn't stop there. So I would say probably that first. But the marathon, I always joke, like, my life existed before I ran that first marathon and after I ran that first marathon. So obviously that was a really impactful day and a tough day too. The marathon didn't, you know, go 100% my way, but I remember at the end of it being like, oh, I need to do more things like that, because I truly feel like this is the first thing in a really long time that's changed me as a person, and I want to keep leaning into that.
Oh, I think that's great. Yeah. My last question that I wanted to ask you on this is, like, you know, did you ever find that running helped you outside of it, right? So I think, you know, I asked you earlier, like, how rock climbing might have helped you running now. Did you find that running, as you know, helped you in other areas? And do you still kind of apply that thought process to things as you go about in your either personal or professional life?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think it's just that mindset shift of you know, being in your own way, creating problems for yourself when you actually do something that's hard and you have to push yourself through and, like, really dig deep and rely on yourself. You end up on the other side just being able to tackle problems differently, if that makes sense. So, like, in my relationship, when we would have conflict, it was different. When in work, when I would have conflict or when I would have communication with people, like, it would be different because I wasn't so acting off of my first, like, instinct. I was acting off of, you know, like, discipline that I had worked on, and I was acting off like, I can do hard things, so I can handle a uncomfortable conversation. I ran a marathon, so I must be able to do this. Like, it was a lot of that, where it just really puts into perspective how little a lot of the little things that affect us day to day are. So it impacted a lot of different areas of my life just off that one thing.
Yeah. Well said. I think that's really, really powerful, because, like you said, you know, we train our bodies to run a marathon, but more than that, I think we train our minds to run a marathon.
Yeah.
And we lay down all of this, like, you know, all these neural pathways, all these roads in our head, basically, of learning that whenever we have conflict, we can actually find ways around that conflict and or ways through it, whatever that is. And so when you're running, the conflict is, I really want to stop and go home, and what the heck am I doing and why am I out here? But then you realize that many of life's challenges, you just feel like, what am I doing here? I just want to go home and be comfortable. And you're like, wait, oh, you know, those same moments when I'm running and I push myself that extra mile, that extra step, whatever that is, can be used here to make, as you said, have an uncomfortable conversation, or in my case, call a stranger, because I'm really, really bad at calling people.
Sure.
But I'm like, come on, I can run a marathon. I can place a call to this restaurant,
right,
and
I
ask
can,
them.
I can book this appointment. Yeah.
Yes. you'd kind of mentioned a couple of things, you know, you wish you'd learn in hindsight, but last kind of question before we hit our quick Q&A, what is kind of the one thing you wish you'd learned earlier?
Ooh, that's a good one. There's so many. I could probably rattle off.
You can name
a
couple if you really need to.
Yeah. I mean, I think on the running technicality side, fueling 100%.
Sure.
I posted something a couple months ago. Like, I got a memory showing me what I packed for my first 20-mile run for fuel. And I was like, oh my God, no wonder it sucked. You know, it
right.
was like two gels in a electrolyte something. I had a little aid station in my car, but it wasn't any more fuel. It was just more water and things like
wow.
that. So I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, of course that didn't feel good. You weren't fueling at all. So I would say fueling for sure. I wish, now looking back on in that same vein, strength training. I tell people all the time on the mm-hmm. show, if people ask me for advice, don't feel like you have to earn the right to strength train as a runner. I think we think that there's a certain point that we hit where we need to strength train to get better. That's 100% wrong. I think that strength training, if I would have done it sooner, I probably wouldn't be going through an injury right now. Probably would have avoided a lot of other just kind of pains like back pain and things like that if I had taken it a little bit more serious. So those are the two more technical things. From myself as a runner, those runs, no, I wish I would have known that you're going to have bad runs and expected
right.
that. Because those, like I said, those little setbacks were huge knocks to my confidence and thinking I could actually run the distance. So if I could have known what I know now about, you know, there's always going to be one or two runs during your training block that aren't going to go your way, and you can always bounce back the next week and make adjustments, that would have helped a ton with just, I don't know. But then at the same time, I'm glad I went through those experiences because I learned a lot. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think it's too easy to kind of internalize those runs like more than they need to be. Right. I think,
exactly.
You know, I think your reaction to them, honestly was pretty solid in the terms of like, well, okay, what did I do that I would want to change going forward? And I think that's really important. It's like, yeah, you have the bad run, but then you take a moment to kind of work through maybe what made it bad. How can you make it a little bit better? And then you just keep trying and you keep trying and you keep learning. I saw somewhere like an article, it might've been on Reddit or something, but this person just perfectly summed this up. Like, as a runner, you just need to try things, because you can read about it as much as you possibly can want to read about it. But until you personally are out there trying the gels, trying the routes, trying the shoes, trying the morning run versus afternoon run, you know, all the different variables that make running such a dynamic sport, you're not going to know. And so like, you should give yourself permission to try and to learn versus like treating it as a failure, right? Which we all do. As we talked about, we both have had experiences where we walk away feeling like a failure. It's like, no, you're not a failure. You just learned a little bit more about your style and what works for you and what doesn't.
Totally. Yeah, we're all so unique. It drives me a little bit insane when I see like running influencers posting about a specific shoe and being like, you all need to try this shoe. It's like, okay, it might be fantastic for you, but for most people, that might not be the shoe for them. So yeah, it's like, it's all so individual.
Very much so, yes. All right. Well, speaking of individual, it's a great segue. Let's get into our quick Q&A. These are questions that I just see a lot. And then because I'm on a music-based podcast network, I'm going to ask you about some music that you might like. So the first one, though, is like, what do you listen to while you run? Are you a music person, a podcast person, or a nothing person?
I would say I'm a little bit of everything. I'm definitely not a nothing person. I've tried running without something in my headphones. Being alone with my thoughts is not my thing. So I'm definitely like something. Since I've had my shocks, though, I found that I can still kind of connect with nature and connect with my surroundings a little bit better while listening to something.
Nice.
I started with just wearing my AirPods, so that's made a big difference. But sometimes I'll do audiobooks, sometimes I'll do podcasts, sometimes I'll do music. It kind of just depends on the mood.
Very nice. All right. That's awesome. Do you have like a go-to song that kind of gets you amped up or gets you over humps, you know, when you're in a long run or anything
yeah,
like that?
I'm not sure if I have a specific song. I feel like most people have like a marathon song that was like their anthem for the race. Mine for my first marathon was a song called Home by Good Neighbors. So that one's a really great one if you haven't heard it. But nice. I'm a big fan of BPM pacing. I don't know if
yes.
you've heard of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of what I do, I have Spotify. And Spotify, if you put in a specific BPM, it'll shuffle songs that it thinks that you'll like. So a lot of times it's songs that I've like had in other playlists or things similar songs. But I really like that because then I can kind of zone out a little bit and just make sure I'm moving to the beat. So I've got a lot of those types of playlists that I'll listen to as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Huge plus one to that because especially whenever I was first getting into running, I listened to a lot of songs that get you at that 180 cadence, you know, it was kind of like the idealistic cadence. And so whenever I did get tired, I was like, nope, just follow the beat and like left foot, right foot. So that helps a lot.
Super helpful. Yeah.
Awesome. And then do you have a current favorite piece of running gear? It can be like a shoe, clothing, watch, device, drink, anything in that category.
Ooh, I think I'd probably say my running vest. I'm a big running vest girl. I always have been. I love the Salomon Advanced Skin line. I think I have the Advanced Skin 5, something like that. But it's my security blanket. I got everything I need in it. I never have to worry about underfueling, underhydrating because I've got everything on me. So that, I'd probably say that.
That's awesome. I don't understand the kind of back and forth on the internet about running vests or not. Look, what? If you want a comfortable way to carry, right, exactly. Yeah. Like, what is that? I don't understand. If you want a comfortable way to carry your stuff on a run, by all means, strap on a vest and get going. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah. Don't let anyone strip you of your joy and of your vest. That's what I always say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show. You can find more of her stuff on Instagram and on Threads and TikTok at tay.says. I'll have a link in the show notes again, as well as another plug for myfirstmarathonpodcast.com, where you can find more of her show and her content. So Taylor, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, until next week, I hope all of you listeners have a super awesome week as always, and I will see you next Tuesday.